The Eddy B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
What the nefesh ufat gufat okru bala bo vechen yirason v'namar amin. We begin today's daf on Mem Zayin Amud Rishon. We are starting with Ba'ir Shlakish. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines down. Ba'ir Shlakish. Shlakish has a question. Amishtahaveh ladekel. Okay, guy bowed down to a dekel. He has a palm tree. So what's the question? Lulavo mahu lemitzvah. Can you use the lulav? Can you use the lulav? A palm tree has lulavim. So could you use the lulav for the mitzvah? Okay. Now, what's the case first? What's the case? So the Gemara explains a little here. First of all, it says imtim sirumal yesh ni'arva b'mechubal etzel gavoa, which means if you want to tell me that something that's attached, even though, let's say, the item that's attached doesn't become asur to a hidyot for personal use, but it becomes asur legavoa, but we're not going to let you use it for the God's purposes, for example, a korban or the Beit HaMikdash, do you say that a lulav, a mitzvah, is like tzorech gavoa? A korban is one thing, but maybe mitzvah is less. So if you're going to tell me that something that's attached becomes asur for gavoa, if it was worship, can you use the item not for gavoa, but can use it for a mitzvah? The Gemara explains. Be'ilan shenita'o mitichayda lekach lo tiv'ilach. If they planted the tree for the sake of avodah zarah, there's no question that fil lehiyot tameh asur. Everybody agrees in that case. We had a machlok between Rabbi Yosei and Rabbanan. Everybody agrees that if you planted the tree for the sake of avodah zarah, that even for personal use you can't use it. It's asur lehidyot. Because you can't use it for a mitzvah. Ki tiv'elach be'ilan shnita'o ulbesof avdo. The case is talking about a bit where you planted it without intentions for avodah zarah, and then later on you came and worshipped it. The Gemara says, again, according to Rabbi Yosef, there's no question. Because according to him, even if you planted it, be'etid, and then served it, worshipped it, it becomes asur anyway, the hijot. Because again, Rabbi Yosef Shita was, even if the tree was planted be'etid, then you worship the tree, even though the tree is attached, the tree becomes asur the hijot. Why? Because since it's a type of item that you can plant yourself, as opposed to a mountain. A mountain is from God. No one planted a mountain. So even if you worship the mountain doesn't become asur. But a tree, even though you planted it beheter, since it's a type of item that's planted by human beings, it's called a tefisat adam, so therefore it becomes asur. So there's no question according to the Biyosef. There's no sheila, is the lulav mutar. The tree is asur even for personal use. Because you can't use it for a mitzvah. Oh, so the question is a very restricted question. Okay, it's a case where you planted the tree beheter, and then you served it after, following the opinion of the rabbis that say that such a tree doesn't become asud b'hana'ah. But the question is, can you use the lulav for a mitzvah? Because maybe it's not nice. Okay, it's not it's ma'us. You can use a lulav from a tree that they were, even though it's not asur b'hana'ah technically, but not nice. So the Gemara says, le'anyan mitzvah mai mi ma'is kelape gavoa. They say it's ma'us. It's disgusting to use a tree like that. You can serve God with such a thing. Oh, no. Or maybe you say no. Maybe only like for a korban, Beit HaMikdash, stuff like that. That's already. But for a mitzvah, maybe we say no. So that was the she'ela of the Shlakish. So when Davdimi came along from Eretz Yisrael, he came to Bavel. He said, he also gave a restriction on the case. The case is talking about, we have an asherah. It was a tree that was an asherah tree. Asherah tree is avodah zarah tree. But what happened? They made bitul on the tree. So therefore, it was originally Avodah Zarah, and somehow they nullified it. You can nullify Avodah Zarah. The tree is nullified now, so therefore the Avodah Zarah status of it went off. What's the she'ilah now? If the status of the Avodah Zarah went off, why shouldn't you be able to use the Ilula for a mitzvah? So comes the Gemara and says, the case is talking about Asherah Shebitla, and what's the she'ilah? It says, Yesh dihoi etzel mitzvot, or en dihoi etzel mitzvot. Meaning, once the mitzvah becomes pushed away, can it be reinstated? This is a general subject throughout Shas. Dihoi means pushed away. So, one argument says, listen, once there was an Asherah, the lulav definitely was forbidden. You cannot use it for a mitzvah. It was Avodah Zarah. But now it became reinstated. Maybe one logic is, since it was pushed away, it stays pushed away. Netchaya, netchaya, it cannot be reinstated. Once it's nullified, you can't rejuvenate it. Another shita says, no, why not? Now it's no good, now it is good. Now it's good, use it now. Bashir Husham, use it now. That's the shayla. Can you reinstate? Because you have this concept by, for example, korbanot. By a korban, once it's netchaya, it's netchaya. It's pushed away. If a korban was, let's say, ba'almum or whatever it may be, and it was not thrown for korban, and now it becomes good again, we say kevach nitche. So the question is, do we say that by mitzvot? Good. So comes the Gemara and says, what was the question? Well, I'll give you a simple answer to that. Tifshot le miditnan. There's mitzvah kisui adam. What's mitzvah kisui adam? Simple. You slaughter a chicken. What's the thing? You got to take the dirt, cover it. Mitzvah meratora. So it says kisahu. Guy went and covered it. He did it biyadayim. He covered the blood. Vinit gala. The wind came, blew the dirt off the blood. Patur melechasot. Why? Because he did it already. There's no din. You have to keep it covered. Once you cover it, you did it. Kisahu aruach. Oh, but let's say anyway. He slaughtered the chicken. The wind came and the wind covered the item, the blood. Hayav lechasot. Then you have to cover it. Now, what's this second case talking about? V'amar Abba bar Bar Hana Amar Yohanan. Lo shenu ela shehazar v'nitgala. It's only talking about where the wind covered it, and then the wind uncovered it. Then we say you have to cover it. However, aval lo hazar v'nitgala patur milechasot. But if the wind covered it, and it didn't go uncovered, you're patur. Meaning, you don't have to, even though it happened by itself. You know, the wind came and covered. I would have thought maybe you didn't do the mitzvah. So maybe you have to uncover it and cover it. No, the wind covered it and it stayed covered, you're patur. So Babinan ba. So the Gemara wants to analyze. Ki hazar v'nitkala may havi. What do I kif? If you tell me when the wind covers it, it counts. Right? So why, if the wind uncovers it, I'm hayav to cover it? Ho'il v'idhe. Oh, so what do I say? Say, once already it was done, it's done. Which means, why don't I say ho'il v'idhe? Once the mitzvah was pushed away, it's pushed away. I mean, you don't rejuvenate the mitzvah. Here, the mitzvah was done. When the wind covers it, does it count? Yes. So why do you tell me, but if the wind uncovered it, you got to do it again? Why you got to do it again? Once the mitzvah was done, the chaura, it should be done. Why are you telling me? No, what happened? Let's talk it out. When the wind comes and blows it off, it's nidhe. Now the mitzvah is undone. So I should say what? Kimanchin nidhe. Once the mitzvah was pushed away, it's pushed away. V'amar papa. So the papa says, zoto merit en dihui etzel mitzvot. We learn from here that even though a mitzvah is pushed away or is negated, you do it again. Again, here the mitzvah was done with the wind. Then what happened? The wind blew it off. It's nidhe. The mitzvah was pushed away, meaning the mitzvah was undone. And what's the deen? Cover it. So what do you see over here? En dihui etzel mitzvot. That a mitzvah could be reinstated. Similarly, let's go back to the story of our question. Our question was, you have a tree. And the tree was an Asherah tree. And the guy went and was mevatel the Avodah Zarah. So now it goes from not being an Avodah Zarah tree. So the question was, can you use the lulav for the mitzvah? So the chaura, it started off no good. And then once you made bitul, the mitzvah became reinstated. So we should say that over, just like over here, that we're saying the mitzvah becomes reinstated. So to over the lulav becomes reinstated, and it should be okay. Which means, with the papas redush, in the hui etzel mitzvot. So Gemara says, "Dera papa gufa gufe ebayele," which means Rishlakish, his question, he knew Rav Papa's rule. He was asking the extent that Rav Papa set his rule on. Meaning, Mifshat Peshita le Rav Papa, the end dihoi etzel mitzvot, lo shena le kula ve lo shena le humra, o dilma sapukem mesafkele le humra amrinam, le kula lo amrinam, tiku. Which means, it's clear what the Papa said. The Papa said, Endi choyes in mitzvot. But, which case did he say it in? He said it in a case, lechumra. Because what is he saying? The blood was covered. Okay? Now, once the blood was covered by the wind, you're covered. It's it, the mitzvah was done. Then what happened? When the wind goes off, the mitzvah was pushed away. Now it's undone. That's the chuy. And what was the deen? You have to cover it again. Now that's, you're saying what? In dihui etzel mitzvot. That even though mitzvah becomes uninstated, you can reinstate it. But that's a chumrah. So maybe he only said his law to be stringent. But in our case of the lulav, if you use this rule, it's a leniency to say that the lulav is kosher.
Right.
That's a leniency. So that was the Shtakish's question. Maybe when the Papa said his deen, he only said it lechumrah to obligate you to cover the blood again. But who told you he's going to use this rule to allow you to shake a lulav? That's a kula. Or maybe not. Maybe when the Papa said his deen, that en dihui etzel mitzvot ben lekula ben lechumrah. That was just, which is the Shakish knew that Papa discussed the sinyan. But he didn't know the extent of how far Rav Papa would use this principle. And to that, the Gemara says, Tikwa. The Gemara says, that's a shayla. Tehli awa nabi. Rav Papa. Hamishtahaveh lebehema. Okay, guy bows down to a behema. Now let's stop again. We know that behema is a sufer korban. That's clearly. Samra maulet chelet. Oh, could you use its wool for the techelet? The techelet is the special blue dye, so they want to use that techelet to put it on this tzimit, the wool of this this animal. What's the she'ela? Techelet demai. He goes, what techelet are we talking about? Can it, there's different types of usages for the techelet. E techelet le kohanim. If we're talking about for the kohanim, wait, what's that? That she says. The Bigde Kuna, in the Bigde Kuna, you had to kill it. That was one of the colors, right? Letzorech Avodah. Now, obviously, you're asking, yeah, Kohen Gadol has to kill it in his garment, and you're asking a Sheila, can he use this to kill it to serve? Now, if that's the question, we asked this question already. The Gemara says, Hainu Ba'ya de Rami Barhama. Rami Barhama asked us on yesterday's daf. Why? We remember we had a question by the rocks on top of a mountain. So we wanted to know, well, we know the mountain doesn't become asur, but could you use the rocks to build the mizbeach? Now, the clothes of a Kohen Gadol is the same level as using the rocks for the mizbeach. It's a makshir. It's a preparatory for the mitzvah. So, if the question is by Kohen, we asked that question already by Rami Bar Hama, by the rock case. Look at how she says that. Now, and even if you're going to tell me that what? That yes, makshire korban, that even the preparatory to the korban is like a korban, and therefore the clothes should be asur. Here, you changed it. Here, you took the wool and you dyed it blue. It's a different item. First of all, the wool's not the same wool. You spun it, you did it, you took it to a bigot. And that question we asked also.
The wheat.
Exactly, the wheat. We asked the question. A guy worshipped the stalk of wheat. And then he took it and he turned it into flour. So we had a shayla. Can you use that for menachot? So whatever question you're going to ask by the Kohanim, we discussed that question on the previous daf. So the Gemara asks, again, what are the two sides of this question? Either the question is like this. the Kohen wearing the item, it's a makshir. It's a preparatory. That was the rock question. Can you use the rocks for the Mizbayah? And even if you want to tell me it's mutar, even if you want to tell me it's asul preparatory, maybe when you make a shinui, it's different. We asked the shinui question already. That was the wheat case turning it into flour. So that cannot be the Gemara's question over here. Can you use the tekelet for the Kohanim's garments? Whatever you answer over there will apply to the to this question. So what's the case? That's got to be tzitzit. That's the only other usage for tekelet. So the Gemara says, v'eat tekelet letzitzit. Oh, so must be the shayla is, the guy worshipped the animal for Avodah Zarah. We want to use the tzitzit now for the garment, for Abba Kanfot, and put the tekelet on it. Hainu bayad de shlakish. That already is the shlakish's question. We just had that question. By lulav, meaning you have an item that you worshipped for Avodah Zarah. So now we want to know: can you use that item for a mitzvah or not? Does she eat kele de tzitzit bekame bayahu il v'dvar mitzvahu min ma'is ne'ayvad kele gemal or lohainu shlakish to bayam lulav? Initially, the way we heard the shlakish's question. Pashut, without all the restrictive rules in the Shlakish. What was Pashut the Shlakish's question? He said, do we have rules that if an item was used for Avodah Zarah, that granted I can't use this animal for a korban, but maybe for a mitzvah, it's okay. So therefore, maybe I can use the wool for the tzitzit. That question already is a Shlakish's question. So the Gemara says, you're right. The question did not have to be asked. You didn't have to ask the she'ela. Why did you ask it if you didn't have to ask it? Because there's other questions that were also asked, and those questions you needed to ask. For example, Samra ma'u de techenet. Okay, that question we didn't have to ask. Could you use the wolf for the techenet? But look at this question. Karne ha'ma'u lachatzotzerot. Can you use the horns of the animal for the hatzotzerot? The Leviim, they used to sing on the Mizbeah, by the Korban. They need trumpets. So can you use the horn of the animal that was for Avodah Zarah? Now, that's the same question. Again, using it for a makshir, and they're using it for a mitzvah. But I will show you why this is a very important question. Can you use the horns of the animal for the Leviim to plow the horn? Shokeha. The shuk is the thigh, they hollow out the bone. Mahu lahalilin. Can you make it flutes also for the Leviim to blow the flutes? Bene me'eha, the intestines, mahu lefarot or leforot. That's the strings to make the sinew. I guess they use the strings for the violins or for the harp. Now, what's the she'ela over here? Can you use the horns for trumpets? Aliba demandamar ikar shira bikli lo tv'ilach devaday asir. Okay. We have a she'ela over here. It's a machloket in Masechet Sukkah. When the Levi'im sing, what's the ikar mitzvah the Levi'im sing? Some say the ikar is the pe. And the verbal singing. Vocal. And the instruments are just to make it sweet. Therefore, the instruments are really not an item. But there's another sheet that says, no, the ikar shira by the Leviim is the instrument. So that's the main item. So if you're going according to that item, that the main, so that's not a makshir. That's the ikar mitzvah itself. That's for sure considered a service in the Beit HaMikdash, and therefore, it's like a korban. I mean, that's the service itself. And therefore, there's no shayla that the horns are going to be asur. The vaday asir. There is no shayla. Oh, so what's going to be the question? So he learns a little differently. He learns like this. If you want to tell me, let's go back. Let's learn like this. That makshire korban are asur. Preparatory items to the korban are asur. Which means, let's say we go back to the question we had on yesterday's daf with the rocks from the mountain. Can you use it to build a mizbeah? Let's assume the answer to that question is you can't. Even though it's not a korban, it's a makshir for the korban. So then, for sure, this horn is going to be asud. Because if you say the horns is the main item of the Levi'im, that's also machshir korban. That's a preparatory item to bring the korban. You need this horn to bring the korban. The horn's going to be asud. Ki tivchilach, your question is going to be, adibad de'amar ikar shere bepeh. That the main singing of the Levi'im is really vocal. Basume kala be'almahu. Which means all you bring in the horn is what? Basume kala, lebasim et hakol. To sweeten the vocal. Umaitinam. And therefore I could say what? Bring it. So what? It's like it's an ekshed even. You don't even need it. Or dilma afilu ache asud. Or maybe I'm going to tell you what? Still it's going to be asud. Right. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Afilu achi asur." Which we the right kesaot over here. Dimisi. Right. Which means could be it's asur, still maus. Even though you don't need the item for the ikas shira, but they're using an item that was worshipped for avodah zarah. Va'afilu tesol inyan dekel demutalu lavon. Even you want to tell me that you could use the lulav, ha'acha kevan de letzorich korban ma'istefeh. If you wanted to tell me that the answer to the lulav question is okay, I could make a difference and say, the lulav is only a mitzvah. This is connected to a korban. And anything that's connected to korban, we're much more stricter. So therefore, since even though you don't need the horn for the shira, but since it's done over a korban, I can argue that it's worse. Or maybe no. Maybe it's mutar, just like a mitzvah is mutar, and therefore it's okay. Tiku gemaraz sheila leaves it on tiku on that as well. Ba'irabba, hamishtehavel ma'ayan. Okay, what did the guy do over here? He bowed down to the wellspring. Memav mahu lenesachim. Okay, nisuka ma'im on Sukkot. He wants to take the water. This was Sukkot. Mahu lenesachim. Were you able to take the waters from the Ma'ayan that was worshipped to put in mitzvah of Nisukha Mayim?
This is his
Ma'ayan,
right?
We're going to see that. That's what I was going to discuss. What's the question? Ilema lebeboa kasagid. Which means, what is he bowing to when he's bowing to the water? Maybe he's only bowing to his image. So he's really not bowing to the water. He's bowing to his reflection. Could be that's the sheila. We want to know if he's bowing to his image and the water is not asur at all. Or maybe he's bowing actually to the water. If he's bowing to the water, the water should become asur. If that's your question, what do you got to give a whole question of a wellspring? Ask a regular question. Got to take a bucket of water, bow down to it. Is it mutar for a hidyot? Meaning, if you tell me he's bowing to his reflection, mutar. If you tell me he's bowing to the water, then it's asur. And that's Gemara's original question. Let's say, if that's your she'ela, so what are you asking me, Ma'ayan? Ask me a regular question. Ask me, guy, stop. A guy bowed down to a bucket of water. Is the bucket mutar or asur? Is the water asur or mutar? Gemara says, De'olam le'mayaka sagid. We have no she'ela. Really, we know he's bowing down to the water. That's why if a guy bows down to a bucket of water, for sure the water is going to be asur le'hidyot. So what's your question then over here then? If a guy's bowing down to a ma'ayan, he's bowing down to the water, how can the water be mutar for the sakhim? Gemara says, "Ve'achi kame ba'ayan." This is what our question was. Lemaya de kame kasagid, ve'kamae azdu. Like you said, he's bowing down to the water that's in front of him, but it's a spring. The water keeps on moving. It's flowing. So therefore, the water that he served moved downstream. And then, well, this is the water. And therefore, he can use it for the sakhim, it's no problem. Or dilma, ledabrona de maya kasagid. What is it? Dabrona. Rashi. Lekiluach shel nahar. He's bowing down to the whole stream itself. The current, exactly. And therefore the whole water becomes asur. And what's the she'ela? V'iyesh ne'ebad b'mechubar asid. The water is considered mechubar. It's all stream. And if you're going to tell me that something that's attached becomes asur for service, so therefore the tradition becomes asur for service. Umi mitzeh, so Gemara says, umi mitzeh. What do you mean? Why should become asur? Veha amar Rabbi Yohanan mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadak. Mayim shel rabim en nesarim. What are you talking? If this is a public stream, because this guy comes and makes avodah zarah, you can all say it to the whole to the public. You cannot all say something that doesn't belong to you. So Gemara answers, lo tzedicha dekanda ve'em me'ar'ah. It's a natural wellspring that's coming from underground. That's hefker. It's not. It's ownerless. So therefore, it's not like he's all sending it to anybody. Therefore, that's why you have a she'ela. But the Gemara leaves it. Okay, we continue to the next Mishnah. Mi she'ya beto samuch la'avodat kochavim. Okay, what's the case? Guy has a shared wall next to the avodah zarah. He has a house next door. There's avodah zarah. There's a wall. It's a connecting wall. And his wall fell down. Now again, if he builds it, so he's building for the Avodah Zarah. He's benefiting the Avodah Zarah. So asur libnoto, he can't rebuild it. Rashi says, "Shaya echad mekotle avodat kochavim, ve'abayit atzmon ne'avad." They're actually serving the house. It's not the pshat that there's an Avodah Zarah in the house next door. So what? Why can't they build the wall? The wall's got nothing. You know, they're worshiping the house. So by rebuilding the wall, you're building Avodah Zarah. So it says, Asul ibnoto, Rashi shebone kotel Avodah Kochavim. You're building a kotel for Avodah Zarah. So what are you supposed to do now? A guy needs a wall. So it says, Ketzad yaseh. So what should he do? Kones betuch shelo arba amot ubone. He loses four amot. He's got to move in four amot into his property, build a new wall. And that's it. So he loses that that space. But she says, "Kones tetoch karkaot dal ramot." Haya. Next case is a partner. Shelo v'shel avodat kochavim. Let's say the wall is shared, which means that she says, "Shemakom obi akotel chachoshlo," which means you have, let's say, a thick wall, four amot wall. Two amot to the wall belongs to the avodah zarah people, and two amot to the wall belongs to the guy next door. The thick wall. So now what do you do in such a case? Nidon mehsa al mehsa. So then you split the wall. That's she. Oto chadish of the kuchavim en olelu b'chnisat dal ramot. Which means you can't knock the wall down and count the four amot from the starting point of the goy's chadish. So therefore, you knock the wall down, or the wall came down, so you can only start counting the four amot from your two amot. Because you only own two amot, so two amot count 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, two amot more, and then you're okay. Aval halko olelo, but his halik is olelo. Shimaya of your shte amot, mone amas shelo v'kones od gimel amot netoch shelo. She gives the case where the thickness of the wall was two amot. So one amah belongs to the goy, one amah belongs to the Jew. So from your one amah go three more, and you have four amot inside, and therefore you're okay. Now what do you do with these the bricks and the dirt? The wall came down, the rubble. Now, the rubble was used for Avodah Zarah, because they worshipped the house. So it says, Abanav, Eitzav, Afarod, the stones, the Eitzim, and the dirt, Mitami'im Kesheretz. Wow, this Tum'av Avodah Zarah like a Sheretz. Shne'emar, Sheketz Teshaketzenu. The Torah considers it like a Sheretz. What's enough coming out of a Sheretz? So that she says, Sheretz in Mitami B'masa. Sheretz is only mitameh b'maga. You have to touch the sheretz. But let's say you lifted the sheretz without touching it, so it will be that be also. So technically, if the dirt and all that, you lifted it up in a bucket and you pull it out, you're not tameh. But if you touch it, you have tumat sheretz. Because the Torah says sheketz to sheketzin. When it comes to avodah zarah, the Torah says the avodah zarah should be like a sheketz, which is like a sheretz. Rabbi Akiva omer kenida. It's worse. The avodah zarah is tameh like a nida. That's even b'masa, that even if you lift it up, you have a tumah. Shne'emad tzerem kemo dava. Take the avodah zarah and send it out like a nida. Tze tomarlo and tell the avodah zarah, tze, get out of here. So you see what tzerem kemo dava. They're comparing the avodah zarah to a dava. So the Gemara in Mishnah explains, ma nida mitameh b'masa. Just like Nidah is Metameh B'Masa, even if you didn't touch it, so to Avodah Zarah, she נידה מטמא במסד, הכתיב בכל הנוגע בכל כלי אשר תשב עליו. אלמא תמיתה לכל אשר נשא אותה. ואף אגב שלא נגעה, אפילו יהיו עשרה כלים זה עזה כולם בכלל אשר תשב עליהם. Which means the famous case of נידה, 10 mattresses. She's on the top and over there, we say even the bottom one becomes tamei, wherever she's sitting, everything underneath becomes, even though she's not touching it. תזרים כמו דבר ודאי כדי במשטר. אוקיי, כמה זה גמרן says? וה... כמה מרווח לעבודת כוכבים. So what do we say over here? He came, the Jew has a shared wall over there, correct? So we said he can't build his wall again. Ela what? He's got to move for Amot in. Now, by doing that, what are you actually doing? You're giving the Avodah Zarah more space. You're giving them more area, more room. So the Gemara says, "Veha kamar vach l'avodat kochavim." So it says, "Amar Rav Halila Mesura de'avid le bet kise." So he says, "You build a bet kise. You build a bathroom." So therefore, he's not going to gain anything. Why is not going to gain anything? Why doesn't he get anything? He builds a bathroom in that spot over there. So you don't give him anything. Which means, in that space over there...
Use it, forget.
So you're not giving him four amot.
So you're building the wall for the bathroom?
No, your house is four amot.
Our house is
no wall. You mean just build a bathroom in that spot?
Yeah.
Okay. No, don't just build a bathroom in that spot. Don't do anything.
He says, yeah, because there's a question.
Okay. So the Gemara says, but there's no wall over here, right? That's actually yorta. But you just putting a bathroom over there? When it's in the utfak, you can't just go to the bathroom without a wall there, blocking it or something like that. You're going to have to make some type of mechisa. The avid le betekise de laila. You made a night bathroom. You only go at night. So there's no sin yut at night. It's dark anyway. Ezu sanua. What's a sanua guy? What's a malachai nifnib? I love the coach of a guy that goes to the bathroom at night in the same place that he would go during the day. Ve'af agav de'okimna b'chederich. And even though we talked about this is talking about what? B'chederich. That this halakha is talking about that he doesn't reveal himself in the which is over here, it didn't talk about place. This halakha that says who's a tsanua guy? A guy that goes to the bathroom at night, like he goes to the bathroom in the day, meant how much he reveals from himself. Not his location. This halakha was really said, when you go to the bathroom, a certain amount you should reveal, not reveal. So in the day, obviously a guy reveals less. Because it's a day, he doesn't want to be seen. So the hadush is at night, a guy that reveals, even though we learned this halakha, l'chederech, but you still see from over here that there is a concept of siniut balayla. From the halakha that tells you not to reveal yourself at night, like you reveal yourself in the just like you don't reveal yourself in the day, you see there's a concept of siniut. So you're telling me what? You're building a bathroom there. What are you doing with a bathroom? Oh, it's a night bathroom. So what? You still need the inyan of siniut. So what's the Gemara's answer? David le letinokot. Okay, you build a children's bathroom. So I guess children don't have to have siniut. Kids are kids, but they have no siniut by a kid. In a med, the garid le behizme vehigne. You put a fence. You put a fence of thorns. You didn't build the wall. You built like a little thorn bush around the area. So even if it's an adult bathroom, so you have no problem with that. You'll have your.
But they're going to worship that.
Why are they going to worship
that?
Worship,
you know,
worship
right. The right. Kotzim u bad mekim. Ach in isur besimat geder kotzim. Okay, so that's it. The Rambam va turkum shatakana shebekotzim hi shimalei sedet kol hashet abekotzim. Aha. Rambam learned you're not building a bathroom at all. According to this answer, he understood you're building the whole area kotzim. So therefore, it's not usable beklal. This iname is not going back on bathroom. Iname, the whole, you can't use that for a bathroom. And why just use it for kotzim, and therefore you have no question. See, he's not gaining the four amot. That's the answer to that question. That's why Rambam understood. Oh no, you're building a bathroom. I worry about the suit. In fact, put a floor mush over there. You're not worried about that issue. Okay, next question. Now, Shiloshab Batim. And there's three houses or three types of houses that are asur because of Avodah Zarah. They're different from each other, and therefore, since they're different, the way you kosher them through bitul, through nullifying them, is going to be different as well. Okay, Aleph. Bayit shebena omet tehila l'avodat kochavim. So they built the house to serve the house itself. They're worshipping the house. That is asur. Okay, so the whole house is asur. Every part of the house is asur. Number two. The house was built already for resident. So they just put like limestone, and they put like pictures. Chiyedo is like putting pictures for that kuchavim, in order to serve the house. But initially it was built for resident, and then it was plastered and pictured for the sake of worshipping the house. V'chidesh. And what is that?
He added
something to it for Avodah Zarah. Now how do you kosher that house? If a Jew now wants to kosher this house, what do you do? Notel mashechidesh. All you got to do is take away the novel item that the goy added for Avodah Zarah, and the rest of the house is mutar banah. Okay, that's the second case. The third case is what? A house that was built for dwelling. V'chnis tetocha avodat kuchavim. He brought a statue in for Avodah Zarah that should be there. V'hotzi'ah. And now you took it out. That is a mutar. Because there was never isur on the house itself. The house was never worshipped. It was just a tashmish for Avodah Zarah. The house was being used to serve the Avodah Zarah. Once Avodah Zarah is not there, temporary use of it, it's mutar. Let's read Rashi now. Big Rashi is over here in the Mishnah. Shilosha batim hen le'anyan bitur avodat kuchavim. Bayit shetehilat binyano la'avodat kuchavim. Ve'ayu ovdin et ha'bayit atzmo. That is asur. If the goy built it, asur ad ki yibatelenu. The only way this house becomes kosher, the goy has to mevatel. How do you mevatel it? She yatutz memenu ksat. He's got to knock some of it down. The imshel Yisrael. We don't rule. If a Jew built it, a Jew cannot be mevatel in avodah zarah. The asur olamit abanah etzav. I follow even the rubble. Even if he knocks it down, it becomes asur olamit. It was built originally for resident. They plastered it, they drew pictures. If the Jew is going to come to negate that house, let him take away the hadush, the novelty that was in the house, and the house is okay. Even though the goy didn't do it, the Jew can mevatel without the goy being mevatel. Let's say the house belonged to Israel, that was a mumar, a rebel. When normally a Jew's avodah zarah you cannot negate, here it'll work. Because the house is not asur. The only thing that's forsaking the house, because it was built originally for residency. So the only thing that's really asur is the chidush. The chidush bitel asur ba'na'olam. The chidush will be asur le'olam. But once you mevatel the chidush, the house will become mutar and you can't use the chidush forever. You have to say it's talking about where they never worship the house at all. They worship the house, then this doesn't apply, because then the only way to worship the mevatel is the goy has to mevatel it, and if the Jew worship the house once, then already the house is going to be asur fab. Okay, now the third case, Rashi. They never worshipped the house in the third case. They're only using the house temporarily to house this idol to bring the Avodah Kuchavim in there. Okay, so that's the three cases. So we said in that case over there, just take out the Avodah Zarah and the house becomes Mutah. Now the Gemara begins. Amarav. Hamishtahave labayit. Okay, well, God bows down to the house. He made the house Avodah Zarah, Asaro. Okay, he's also saved the house. Simple as that. Okay, you have to say it's either his house or he got permission to bow down to the house, because you cannot be osir somebody's property. I can't come and say, yeah, you can't live in your house anymore because somebody bowed down to it. That's a bad idea. Okay, Alma. So what do we learn from this statement? The Kasabari must hold Talush ul besof hebero ketalush dame. An item that was detached from the ground, and then you attach it to the ground, it's still considered detached. And therefore, we said that what? Something that's attached to the ground does not become asut avodah zarah. We learned that from the Pesukim. Again, we learned that like from the mountains. But the mountains do not become avodah zarah. So how does this house become asut? Because the house was not grown from the ground. The house started off as talush. The house was made up of components, of bricks and stones and things like that. So you see from the Mishnah that something that starts off detached, from the statement, something that starts off detached and then becomes attached has a din of detached. Because only detached items become a surbana. So why does the house become a surbana? It's attached to the ground. Ela, since it started from a detachment, it retains that status. Rashi, Abne Bayit Telushin. The stones of the house originally were Talush. Ubena'am v'chabram bekarka. Then you attach it to the ground. And it's still like it's Asur. So that's a case where you have attached. That's like detached. So the Gemara says, V'ha'anan b'na'otenam. Which means, we learned in our Mishnah that says, Bayit shebina'o la'avodat zara. It's mashma that it's only asur if they built it for that. Look at our Mishnah. What's our Mishnah's lashon? Shosha batim bayit shebina'o. It's mashma only when at the inception they built it for avodat zara. This case over here, the house was built for resident and they bowed down to it. And still Rav says it's asur b'ana. Oh, what do you do with our Mishnah? What's the Mishnah? It's only asur if it was done from the inception. So Gemara says, b'na'o afa pi shelo shtahava lo. Shtahava afa pi shelo b'na'o. So Gemara gives a chiduk. If you built it for avodah zarah, even if you never bow down to it, it's going to be asur. If you didn't build it for avodah zarah, Davka, if you bow down to it. So there's two laws. The building itself already is all said it. Without bowing. But if you build it for residency, then Davka, if you bow down to it. Okay, so that's the Hiluk. Oh, Ihache, Ani Shlosha, Arba'ahavu. Right. If that's the case, so you should have four cases. You have four cases of the house of Avodah Zarah. The Mishnah's case is talking about where you built it l'shem avodah zarah, and then you have Rav's case is talking about where you built it for residency, then you bow to it. Right. It's a different case. Add that to the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, "Kevan de le'inyan bitul bana v'shtahava had kahashivle," which means our Mishnah is not discussing four cases of avodah zarah. It's discussing scenarios of avodah zarah that have different ways to make. Be two different ways to nullify it. And therefore, if a person built a house for avodah zarah, v'shtahava, or he built a regular house and then bowed down to it, it's the same way of bitul. And therefore the Mishnah counts it as one. Which way you mevatel it? Goy has to come to mevatel, Goy has to knock it down, or part of it down. If a Jew does it, it's a sunnah olam. In both cases. So therefore, since the bitul of these cases are the same, so the Mishnah counted as one. Good? Okay, next Mishnah. Shalosh avanim hem. There are three different types of stones that are asur because of avodah zarah. And therefore the bitul is going to be different as well. Number one, Eben shehasava mitichila lebimus. Why, you chisel the stone out of the mountain to be a platform to put the avodah zarah on it. And I guess you're bowing down to the platform as well. That is asura. So the whole thing is asur. Yes, you did it l'shem avodah zarah. What does Rashi say on that case? Rashi Shalosh avanim lenyam bitul avodat kuchavim, right? Three different items lenyam bitul. Even shahasava menahar metchila lebimus makom moshav avodat kuchavim shemoshiv hatselim aleha. It's a prop. You put the selim on this item. The omdim et habimus, when they worship the item itself. Kavodat kuchavim atzmo harez asura vafidu lo ha'imid aleha. Even if you didn't put the avodat zara on it. V'im oved kochavim hatzba. Now what's the law? If the goy did it, sarich oved kochavim lebatela ulhaser memena me'at ad shetifgom. He's got to break it. Do something to it until it becomes pagum, until it becomes deficient. V'im Yisrael hatzava asura olamit. Right? Because once a Jew does it for avodah zarah, there's no bitul by a Jew, and then it becomes asur. That's the first case. What's the second case of a rock? They chiseled the rock, not for avodah zarah. Stamp for a rock. And then what? Siyida, then they put plaster on it. V'chiyida, they put all different types of designs on it. L'shem avodat kuchavim. So now what do you do? Notel ma shesiyed v'chiyed umoteret. Just take off the plaster, and take off the pictures, and it's okay. Nashi. Siyida v'chiyida l'avodat kuchavim. V'hi aytah tzvah v'omedet. It was a rock that was taken up b'heter. Noter Yisrael, ma shechidesh avet kuchavim. That's the thing. The goy put a chidush on it, so the Jew just has to take off the chidush. Vezore leruah, but he can't benefit from the chidush. He's got to take the chidush and just throw it away in the wind. Va'eben muteret shelo nasam tachrim ela chidush. The only item is the chidush. That's the avodah zarah. Number three. So what you do? You took a stone. Regular, without kavanah for avodah zarah. He'emid aleha avodat kochavim. Now what'd you do? You put the avodah zarah on the platform over there. V'silika. Oh, then what? He removed it. Harez muteret. Kanir'eh, he only did it for a temporary... temporary. He only took the stone to use it as a temporary holder for the avodah zarah. The pedestal was not permanent for the avodah zarah. It was temporarily used. So how do you get rid of it? Just take the avodah zarah off the item, and now it goes back to its regular usage. Look at that sheet. Here I meet the avodah kuchavim lefisha'a temporarily. Velo eksata even the bimus. You didn't designate the rock to be avodah zarah to be the permanent holder. You don't need bitul. That's the bitul. Just taking the avodah zarah off because it was a temporary use. Okay, fine. Gemara. So what would we say over here? If the goy painted it and did all these type of things for avodah zarah, so what? The Jew takes off the hiddush, and then it's mutar b'hana'ah. Amar Rabbi Ameh. It's only talking about where the goy actually chiseled in the rock itself. But if you just put it on the surface, it's mutar. Which means that's not considered making the rock asur by just drawing a picture on the surface of the rock. He's got to actually chisel it in the rock itself to make the rock asur. That's it. Shehakak basura bebarzel, right? He etched it in with metal to make an image on the stone itself. Abasiyed bechid aleha, but if you put it surface al yede tiyach muteret belo bitulu belo avodat kuch belo avda oved kuchim. Right? Since the goy didn't worship the rock, so the only way it could become asur if it was chiseled inside the rock itself. But if it was just surface on the rock, it does not make the rock asur. Gemara says a question. Which means these three rocks, lechaora, sounds like it's following the rules of the last Mishnah. What did we learn in the last Mishnah? The laws of the houses. Now, the laws of the houses, what were we talking about? You have a house, it was a residence. What did the goy do? He painted the house. Now, over there, ubayit lab begufehu, you didn't chisel in the house itself, and still what? Umitzar. And you still said the house becomes asur. Why? By the rock, for the rock to become asur, you have to chisel inside the rock. Whereas by the house, we said in the last Mishnah, It's enough just to draw pictures on the wall and plaster it, and it becomes a sur. So the Gemara says, Bayit name ika bene urbe, which means he did it in the house itself, in between the bricks. Okay? Which means in between the bricks there's like indentations over there, and he went and he put things in the house itself. If there's no seed out, you're right. The house won't become a sur if they're going to just draw some pictures of Abu Dazar on the walls of the house. It's got to be mamash in the stones itself, between the bricks themselves. Now she says, ben lebena lelvena, between the bricks themselves, maknisa, babi lebegufa. He sticks the pictures between the bricks, so it's as if it's in the walls itself. So the Gemara says, impossible. Milo askina de shia the hadar shaya. Well, he just repainted the house. Which means the house was painted, and the goy just came along and he put another coat of paint on the house. The Shem Abu Dazara. Which means, who told you that when it said he painted the house, it means he chiseled in the walls? Mishnah just said he painted the house, he plastered the house. Shot is what? The house was painted regularly for residency. The guy went to paint the Shem Abu Dazara and he painted the house again. Who told you that the case is talking about where he mamash put it in the walls? So the Gemara says, so therefore, if the house case is talking about where it's on the surface, so the Chaura, why then the rock case, are you telling me it's got to be in the rock itself? You have a stira the Chaura. So Gemara gives the final answer. Elaki etmar de Rabbi Ami. This Rabbi Ami's hadush by the rock, the inyan bitul etmar, wasn't talking to make the rock Avodah Zarah. It's enough for the goy just to color it and all that, and make a picture of Avodah Zarah. However, the inyan bitul, what's the bitul over there? Which means, even if the goy was misayed, that plastered it and put the picture in gufa shel eved, that he put it inside, ki natal ma shehidesh shapir dame. When the Jew takes away the chidush, shapir dame. But it's enough. You would have thought that since he put the image in the rock itself, I would have thought that that rock now becomes like a rock that was initially hewn from the mountain. The whole rock is asur until you make a total bitul. Kamash ma'alan, that he comes along and says that it's not considered like an Eben Shabbat Avodah Zarah. It's like a regular rock, and therefore you just have to take away the Tosefet. So again, when Abami said, V'ushisiyed v'chiyed, he meant like this. That what I told you in the Mishnah. That what I told you in the Mishnah. That if you have a rock that was painted and imaged, that you just have to remove it, and the rock becomes mutar. It's not only a case where it was on the surface. That's for sure. If it was on the surface, and you just chiseled it off, but now it's mutar. I'm telling you, even if the goy put the chiseling in the rock itself, and you went along and chiseled it off, the rock becomes mutar. What's the hadush? Because you would have thought, once he puts it in the rock itself, maybe that makes the rock like it was initially created for Avodah Zarah, and then it's not enough just to erase the hadush. Then you have to break the rock. Kamash Maran, even if the goy put it in the rock itself, it's enough for the Jew to come along and just erase it and get rid of it, and the rock becomes mutar. So he wasn't talking about to osir the rock. To osir the rock, even just painting, like painting the house. You're not going to put it in the rock to osir it. The hadush is, even if he went further, the goy, and he put it in the rock, since the rock itself was not hewn from the quarry, the Shem Avodah Zarah, all the isur over here is the Tosefet, and the way to matir it is just get rid of the Tosefet, and even though it's in the rock, we don't consider it, that the rock itself becomes Asur Be'etzim, and therefore the Bitul will work by getting rid of it. Look at the Nashi on the bottom. Right, same with a house. Not, go to a house now. A goy went in the house and put chiselings in between the bricks. Good? And even though the house was built for residency. All the Jew has to come is just sand it off, get rid of that chit, and the house is mutar.
So the Goy doesn't have to do it?
The Goy can be metal as well. The Goy wants to be metal and break the rock, he can do that as well. Yeah, if the Jew comes along and erases the Hiddush, another rock becomes mutar for him. Obviously, it's a rock that he can use. It's not stealing or anything.